Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Strapped. So far we have covered, message one was we talked about if we serve God instead of money, right? And if we serve God, then money will serve us, all right? Key point, if we serve God, money will serve us. And often, too many times, we serve money. And that we work to pay bills and to meet the demands and sometimes debt that we serve money, and we're kind of going down this, what do we call, a rat race. You ever heard that term, right? And it takes away our joy and fulfillment. And many times we find ourselves being strapped, and it does a couple things. First of all, it's no fun, right? Right? It's not for me anyway. I don't know. Maybe you enjoy it. I don't. I don't enjoy sitting there trying to do bills and realizing, man, I don't have enough to make. I got more bills than the money, right? You ever been there? Or it's very, it's very difficult. It also means that you can't be generous, right? You have somebody in need. You want to give to a project. You want to give to your church. You're not. It's hard to do that because it's kind of like, well, I got all this, and it makes it difficult. It also means that when you get sometimes towards retirement and you've worked hard and now you want to enjoy life a little bit more, and it's like if you don't have anything to retire on, again, now there's some stress that settles in and some difficulties that come across them. So far we've talked about if we serve God, then money will serve us. Last week we learned about act your wage, right? Live within your means. And today we're going to talk about saving and investing. So there's usually two types of people. Okay, you can raise your hand here. Either there are Broncos fans or New England. No. where's Chris at? I'm glad you at least took off your hat for service here. Matthew, well, we're going to have to work on you, Matthew. He's a diehard. All right. So there's usually two types of people, all right? Usually there's either spenders or savers. So if you are a spender, raise your hand, all right? And if you're married and your spouse is here, all right, you can make sure that they're being honest. All right, how many are savers? All right, savers. All right. Yeah, kind of goes both ways. Sometimes it's the woman. It's the spender. Sometimes it's the woman the saver, vice versa. I'm not the spender. We were at Cabela's yesterday, and so we were just talking about. We were doing that thing, right, where the women will buy something on sale, and she'll spend a few dollars on clothes. You know, she usually gets them on sale. And I was looking at this piece of clothing that was, I think, 60% off, wasn't it? But it was still $150. But it was still 60% off, right? All right. Good deal. Okay. I didn't buy it. I'm saving, okay? So that leads into the message of what we save for, okay? We're going to get to that. Now, I don't know how many of you like watching insects. How many have watched an ant before, right? Yeah. I've gotten this fall. I kind of got some amusement out of this big garden spider that was just outside my window there in the office. It was black and yellow. It was huge, you know. Had a big web there, and it was catching, you know, other insects that would come along. And then one day she disappeared. For several days she disappeared, and what I realized is she just went like a foot or two away, and she made this ball, which I did some research, and that is where she puts her nest. So they will hatch this spring if something doesn't eat them, okay? So I think I'm going to transplant that to my raspberries at home, and hopefully that'll take care of the Japanese beetles. You think so? I don't know. We'll see. All right? If they had. But But she did that. It's just kind of interesting. So she made her ball there. You can see it there. Nobody touch it, okay? It's no trespassing there. But then she came back to her web, and she was there for a couple days. But it took a lot of energy out of her because she gave everything she had to I don't know, thousands of eggs that they will do. And then, but I thought she was recovering, getting her strength, and then a praying mantis came by, and she was lunch for praying mantis. So it's just kind of, isn't just weird how the life cycle works? It's just kind of interesting. But I don't know if you realize this or not, but Solomon, we know, is recorded as being one of the smartest men and full of wisdom and knowledge during his time. You may think it was maybe just about the things of God or just about life, but he actually would do lectures in the area of science and other things pertaining to that, biology. And so he is very knowledgeable about that. And if you read through the Proverbs, you'll realize he records some of this. So in Proverbs chapter 6, if you want to turn there, verses 6 through 8, I'll give you a moment to, we're going to jump around a little bit. Sometimes when I speak, we just kind of go to a text. This is more of a topical series, so that means that we jump around a little bit. So it gets you used to your Bible, right? Okay. Finding where you're at. Proverbs chapter 6, 6 through 8, and if you have your electronic version, that is just very good as well. Either does the job. But in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, Solomon says this. He says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Isn't that just a good word? How many would like to be called a sluggard? All right. Probably none of us here, right? But that's somebody that probably is lazy. They're not willing to work for their food, for their livelihood. They're just too lazy. "Look, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no general over it, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Isn't that interesting? You'll see them out there working away, right? Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Proverbs 21, 20. So go ahead a little bit in Proverbs. 21, 20 applies it more to you and I. Give you just a minute to get there. "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Proverbs 21, 20. So there we... a foolish person hasn't saved. They've used everything that they have. Okay? So whether the emergency comes along or they get to the time where maybe they're looking at retirement, there's nothing there to live off of, right? They've spent all that they have. But the wise person has stored up food, oil, provisions so that they have something to live off of, either in time of famine and our difficulties, whatever the case may be, they have something to live off of. It's 55% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, so over half. It might even be higher than that. It means that when you get that paycheck, it's already gone. The bills are going to take all of it. You have nothing to save, and sometimes it's not even enough to cover. If things go wrong, you have nothing to cover those extra expenses. We live paycheck to paycheck. And I realize if you are on a single parent, okay, and you have one income, that can be just to pay the bills is a big task, okay? Or, you know, there's other circumstances in life. It can be very difficult. But the idea is that hopefully we can get some principles from Scripture that can help us to live a little bit freer without stress and to enjoy life, to be generous, and to... use money to serve the kingdom of God. Amen? So what are some things? Let's just open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into some things here. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, the ant has a lot to teach us about saving, about investing. And Father, I pray that in these few moments we have that you would take this and apply it to our hearts and our lives. In your name we ask, amen. Amen. So what are some things that you want to save for? This is in your notes here. If you can take notes, there's a lot of notes today. So Chris has calluses this morning. So, all right. So here we go. What are some of the things that we need to save for? First of all, we need to save for emergencies, right? Emergencies are going to happen. Okay, your car is going to break down. The plumbing is going to break. What else could go wrong? Huh? Maybe you have a medical emergency. Back problems. He always picking on me, aren't you? All right, you might have a medical emergency. And that might happen. You get laid up for a couple of days and you can't work. And if you don't have sick leave and it's dependent upon you showing up at work and working, not only are you down for a couple of days, but you don't get paid for that. That's not good, is it? Okay? But we save for emergencies, and that will save you so much stress if you can have the $1,000, and then once you get out of debt, you can move towards having 3 to 6 months put aside. But if you can do that, it'll take so much stress off of your life because you've saved up for that. And it's there if you need it. Secondly, we save up for purchases. So when I go to Cabela's, I can put the cash down, right? Right? Or I put it on my Visa Cabela's card, get 3%. And then I put the cash down on that. But I've been saving up for it, okay? All right? And there's sometimes some of those things that, yeah, you know, maybe there are things that we want. There's nothing wrong with that, but if we can save up for it and we put the cash down, whether it's for a piece of clothing, whether it's for food, a couch, right, furniture for your house, maybe some improvements, Christmas, that'd be a good one, a car. Every one of the kids' cars, we've saved up for it and we've paid cash. Yes, 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 that would work, yeah, yeah. That's my Christmas. Christmas is coming up, Chris. No, not Christmas, my birthday. My birthday's coming up, Chris. All right. So we save up for purchases, whether it is car, whatever. And when is the last time that you bought a new car with cash? Maybe some of you have done that. We've never bought a new car, so one day maybe, I don't know. Even buying a new car isn't the best investment because the minute you drive it off, it depreciates 20%. So sometimes the best bet is to get one of those lease cars that has a year on it, and it's a better investment. So the third thing that we need to save for is the future. Okay, like the ant saves for the future, we need to save for future. What are some of the future things? Maybe it's college. Expenses. So if you have young children, to save for college. Ours did not last for all the kids. It lasted through the first one, but at least it gave us a head start, right? It was there, okay? We probably needed to start a little bit earlier on that. Braces, that's a big one. All three of our kids have had braces. That's a big one, folks. You have to shop around, but that's anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 for braces. Try fitting that into a budget. Retirement. We save for the future for retirement. We don't have the benefit of, we don't know if Social Security is going to be there. You know, if somebody my age or somebody in college, you know, is retirement going to be there? Is Social Security going to be there for you? We have no idea. From what I hear, they've already spent that money. So unless they start taxing people more, It could be interesting. So if you're dependent upon Social Security to take care of you, that is probably not a good plan, right? So you need to be saving for the future. Now, in order to do this, we need to prioritize our dollars, okay? We need to give priority. So what comes first? To help illustrate this, we got a short video here, but I guess it's about 6 minutes. But Craig Groeschel is going to help us out here a little bit this morning, and he's going to talk about illustrate this. Let's roll it.
So here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to prioritize our dollars. How does that work? Well, each month we have a certain amount of money to live off of, and we're going to give a priority to each dollar that comes in. Guess what? It's payday, and you just got paid $100. As a Christian, we believe that the first 10% of what God gives us goes back to God through the church. So if you're taking notes, our first priority is the tithe. The first 10% of $100 goes back to God through the church. That's the first priority.
That's
our
second
priority, if you're taking notes, is our expenses. You have to eat, you have to sleep somewhere, but guess what? Our living expenses have been, well, a little higher than they should be because we're spending money on some things that we shouldn't buy. Unfortunately, we've been living paycheck to paycheck, and our remaining $90 has been going into the expense budget. But here's the good news. You've embraced the value of sacrifice. We're going to give up something we love for something we love even more. You've embraced the value of self-control. We're going to say no for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. We've embraced the value of planning. We're going to have a budget. We're telling every dollar where to go. And with our new values, because we've been aggressive, maybe we sold a car and got a less expensive one. Maybe you stopped drinking expensive caffeinated drinks. Maybe you stopped eating out. And after your aggressive planning, you've managed to cut your expenses $20 a month. And guess what we're going to do with the extra $20? This is going to go to the priority of the emergency fund. Remember last week we talked about putting aside $1,000. We're going to work our buns off to set this money aside for emergency, so our extra $20 goes to the emergency fund. Now, here's some more good news. You've been tithing, and God blessed you. You got to babysit this month, and you got an extra $10 for babysitting. You also sold something on eBay, and you got $20. So we tithe from our income. This goes to God, and that gives us an extra $29 to put toward our emergency fund. And guess what? Before long, it's payday again, and the cycle continues. Not only did you get $100 for your normal job, but an extra $10 again for babysitting, and your rich uncle died and left you $20, totaling $130 this month. The priority, the first 10%, goes to God through the tithe. Then we put the next $70 toward our expenses. And guess what? We've got $47 to go toward our emergency fund. And in no time at all, you'll have your $1,000 emergency fund fully funded. And you've accomplished the first priority. Congratulations. Time to celebrate. And now your priorities change. Instead of trying to put money to the emergency fund, now we have a new bucket. And we call it, if you're taking notes, the debt bucket. Here's how it works. It's payday again. And what are you going to do? You're going to tithe and you're going to pay your expenses. And everything that you have left, everything you can earn and scratch together, now goes toward debt. You remember last week we talked about the debt snowball. We're going to get aggressive and pay down debt every single month. What do? We get paid, we tithe. We put money toward our expenses, and then we put everything toward the debt snowball. And here's the great news. If you don't give up, if you hang in there, if you watch for the blessings of God and put it all toward your debt, you will become debt-free, except for the house. And again, it's time to celebrate, not with a shopping trip to Neiman Marcus, but go to a movie and buy popcorn and overpriced candy. Why? Because you are now debt-free. And the priorities change once again. Now the priority is not debt, but instead you've got a new bucket, and this bucket is called invest or build wealth. And this is what happens. You've been faithful to God with the tithe, and God has blessed you with a raise. Your new income is now $130 a month. Congratulations, you've been blessed. What do? The first 10% goes to God in the tithe. Then the priorities actually rotate. We give to God first, and then second, we invest for our future. How do we invest? We actually take 15% of our income and put it into a pre-taxed retirement account. That's about $20. We give to God first, and then we invest, and then we pay our expenses, and what is this? We've got lots and lots of money left over. What can we do? We can give an offering. We can give to someone who's in need. We can help feed hungry children. We can invest more. And you can even get your nails done with little polka dots on it. Ladies, for other women, because we know you don't do it for men. You do it for each other. What do we have? If we're faithful with what God gives us, He will trust us with more. We're going to give up something we love for something we love even more. We're going to say no for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. And if we'll live like no one else, one day we can give like no one else. Because if we're faithful with a little, God will trust us with a lot.
All right. So I don't know if you did. The debt snowball was to take, remember from last week, and the messages are recorded, so if you want to go back and catch those, I encourage you to do that. But the debt snowball was to free up $200 a month and begin applying that to your smallest debt, and then the money that you were putting towards that smallest debt, you then take that $200 plus whatever you were, maybe $30 a month you were paying towards that smaller debt, you take that now, that $230, and apply it to the next debt. Once that one's done, then you apply all that money to the next one and get it paid off. And I just applied it to our home mortgage. That's the debt we have, is our home mortgage. It's a 15-year loan, down to 8 years now. But just adding $200 a month would drop it 3.5 years. So now we're down to 5 years. Guess how much money we would save in interest? Anybody guess? How much? 14? Well, that's a little bit much, but... $7,500, about half of that. How many people would like to have $7,500 just like that? Yeah, not bad. But that's how much you just in that short period of time you can save in interest. And the way those loans are set up, you pay all the interest up front, so the quicker you get it paid off, the better. So to go through those priorities, your first priority is what? Tithe. Okay, that's in your notes there. Okay, you can fill those in. The second one is? Expenses. The third one is emergency fund. Fourth one is debt. And the last one is invest. Invest. All right? To give priority to those. Now, there's two ways to make money. We're going to look at those briefly here. Two ways to make money. Either people making money. It's your notes there. People making money. So, and this is the most common way. We get a job, right? We get paid. And we divide up our money, right? People making money. The last time I checked, there are no money trees out there, right? Or you just go out there and pick it off the tree. It doesn't happen. All right? People making money. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man will not work, he will not eat. Proverbs says that a man with lazy hands will go hungry and have no provision. So it is a principle that God has woven into just the human race, that the idea that when we work, there's also benefit for us. I think it gives us meaning and purpose, but it also provides for our needs, okay? So the first way that we make money is by working. We make money by our work, by what we do. Secondly, we make money by money. Money will make money, right? How does money make money? Investing. Right there, man. Got it. All right. He's not sitting on the front row for nothing, man. Right there. All right. Money making money by investing. So interest rates are not very good right now, are they? I don't think you can get interest above 1% in just regular savings here in Crete. I don't think. If you do, tell me, okay? Because I'm interested. But I think they're at 0.5%, 0.75%. Last time I checked, just because interest rates are low, which is good for if you are going to get a loan. It's not good if you are investing, is it? But if you invest the money, whether it's in real estate, land, mutual funds, there's a lot of different ways you can invest it. Your money will actually make money. So that's the idea of investing for the future, is that you can save, but then if you invest that money, it brings a return without you even doing anything, right? Isn't that great? You can be sleeping, and your money is making money. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's pretty cool. And there's wisdom in that. Matthew 25:16 says, the man who received the 5 talents, right, the parable of the talents, went at once and he put his money to work. And he gained how many more? 5 more. He doubled his money. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you invest your money, I think like at 7 or 8%, 9%, it will double in, anybody know? I think right around 7 years, your money will double. That's not bad. You have $10,000 invested. In 7 years, you're going to have $20,000. Not a bad deal, huh? Not a bad deal. Rules of investing. All right, kind of on the last part here. First of all, don't invest in things you don't understand. Don't invest in things you don't understand. Proverbs 24:3-4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Proverbs 24:3-4. Often I talk to people that have invested thousands of dollars in kind of a get-rich scheme, all right? Somebody, they know somebody, and they say, hey, I got this investment. You need to invest in it, okay? And I'm not going to take a show of hands, but I know there are people here, probably more than one, that have invested probably $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 in something that was going to make money, and now that money's gone, right? It didn't pan out. And some of it is because we haven't done our research, and we're investing in things that we don't understand. And so the best investments are ones that we've researched, that we know there's a track record. If you do mutual funds, you can look at their track record over the 5, 10, 15 years and see how they've done, all right? So, you know, we 2008, things kind of crashed and it came back up, and now things are kind of going downward again, right? I don't, 7 years, yeah, I guess it's about, kind of goes through cycles. So you have to use some wisdom in that, and Ramsey will recommend having a financial planner. Now, they take their cut. And he'll tell you, if he goes to the website, he'll tell you which ones to, he goes with the ones that take the cut right out front. I think 1.5% right out front. And then after that, they don't take anything else. There's others that they keep taking a percentage on your investments. And so he just does the one where you invest, where you, the money you invest, they take that 1% or 1.5% and go with that. But he does recommend some good financial planners, because they stay up on it, okay? It's not a lot of us. We probably look at the paper. We watch a little bit on the news. We watch it. But we're pretty clueless to investments, and it's easy to invest money, and it's gone the next day, right? Stock market, you can lose it overnight. It can be gone. So know and understand. I think of my folks. We moved up to Alaska. And part of that, what fueled that, was that my dad had some buddies. They had built some homes for these guys in a nursing home in a community in North Dakota. And these guys were probably a little bit more financially better off than my folks were, but they were investing in gold and silver back in the 80s. Okay, and if you're around in the 80s, kind of right around in 84, what happened? Okay, stock market went down. Work was a very difficult time. My dad was in construction. They had their own construction business. But during the 80s, it was a very difficult time. It caught up with the construction business, so the work was hard to find. There just wasn't the jobs out there that there was. But their buddies had invested in silver and gold, and so my dad kind of went along with them, and they invested. There was one problem. Gold and silver just shoom, like that, and they couldn't keep up with the margin payments. And it went backwards. And before long, they found themselves in debt and in over their heads. All right? And so it cost them some things. And it took them a while to get all that squared away and figured out. They paid off all their debt. But it was a very difficult learning curve at that stage in life. Now, their friends, they also took the hit, too. But they probably weren't as invested in that as much, and so they were able to take that hit without them costing them as much. But I think my folks probably invested in something that they totally didn't understand, and they invested beyond what it's something that was too risky, which leads into the next one here, okay? So don't invest in things you don't understand. Secondly, don't put all your eggs in one basket, okay? So that's what they did. They kind of put it all in gold and silver, and guess what? That tanked, and there was no other assets to help to balance that out, okay? You can learn those lessons the hard way, or you can learn it from others that have been there and say, hey, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Because Dave Ramsey says that investments are like manure. You put too much in one place and it stinks. You have to spread it around, okay? Ecclesiastes, again written by Solomon, 11:2 says, give portions to seven, yes to eight, do whatever, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. In other words, divide up your investments. So if you're investing for the future, your emergency fund should be just in a savings plan that you can have access to it today, right now, if I need it, okay? That's what it's there for. You can't wait a week or a month to get those money out, or months. That doesn't help you out. So your emergency plan needs to be, even if it's not getting great interest, it's there when you need it, okay? It's for the emergency, right? Okay? But then you make other investments, and, you know, even mutual funds, the beauty of them is that they're invested over a lot of different funds, right? It's not just one stock that you're investing in, maybe stocks and bonds, but they're, a good mutual fund is invested in several different things, so if one goes low, maybe one's going up, and hopefully enough go up that you actually make some money, right? But even there, a financial advisor, so the stock market kind of really took a hit over the last couple of weeks. Temptation is to do what? Pull your money out, right? But all the financial advisors are saying what? Leave it in, because it'll come back. It'll come back. And if you even invest a little bit more when it's low, when it goes back up, it's going to increase. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Thirdly, don't try to get rich quick. That's where we can get into trouble. And that's what Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And men, we're probably a little more guilty of this. We want the BBD. You know what the BBD is? Bigger, better deal, right? We want the bigger, better deal. We want to get rich quick. And sometimes that comes back to bite us, all right? It comes back to bite us. Proverbs 13:11 says, he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Little by little. And so there's a formula. You all want the formula here? There it is. Money plus time plus consistency equals wealth. Verses 48 through 49 talks about Joseph. And if you remember, Joseph kind of had an interesting life, right? He is born to a family with a lot of brothers. And God gives him a promise. He gives him some dreams and some visions, right? And he shares them with his brothers, and that didn't go over so well because he said, you guys are going to bow down to me, you know, and you're going to worship me. So that didn't go over really well since he was younger. And his father kind of showed him favoritism. He was kind of the favorite son, and that didn't go well either. And so they sell him as a slave to Egypt. And Joseph, God blesses Joseph there, but he also spends some time in prison, right, for doing the right thing. Potiphar's wife wants to take advantage of him. She thinks he's kind of hot looking. And he refuses. He goes, I'm not going to sin against God. Gets thrown into prison. God then elevates him, though, to second command. From prison to second in commando over all of Egypt. Because God had placed within him the gift to interpret dreams. And Pharaoh had some dreams that he could not understand of the sheaves of grain that all of a sudden withered, and the cows that were healthy, and all of a sudden they shriveled up to nothing, and nobody could figure out what they meant. But God entrusted that to Joseph. He interpreted the dreams, and Pharaoh says, we're going to put you in charge. And the prophecy of these dreams was that they were going to have 7 good years, right? within Egypt. And that what was going to happen after those 7 good years? 7 years of famine, right? And God entrusted that knowledge to Joseph. And so for the next 7 years, they saved. It was kind of like a mandatory thing. They saved. They've saved so much they could no longer keep track of all that they had saved. But guess what? That day of famine did come. And now people from all over that area, not only from Egypt, but even from where Joseph's family was from. His brothers showed up one day and said, "Hey, we need some food." They didn't know it was Joseph. And God used that event to restore that relationship in that family. But see, what God shared with Joseph not only helped to save the people of Egypt, but it saved the people of that whole region. And it even made Egypt wealthy because they had saved. And they were able to share that wealth with the world around them and to bring livelihood and food in a time of famine. Saving. It's not always easy to save, is it? But if we do that, if we save and we invest, like the ant, it'll be there for us. It'll be there for us. It's going to take some stress, sometimes a lot of stress out of our life. And we get to the end of retirement, towards retirement, and that part of life, we have something that we can live off of. But it also frees us up to be generous. Most people I know want to be generous. They want to be able to help out with needs that they see. But often we look at where things have been this past week or month, and they say, "Man, I can't give because it's not there." And we feel helpless. And so by following a plan, it can free us up to do some of the things that we feel passionate about. And as we just kind of wrap things up this morning, I just want, what's important to you? You know, what we do with money reveals what we believe in, right? What we invest in. What did Jesus invest in? Us, didn't he? Yeah, the kingdom of God. He invested in you and I. If we are strapped, there's no way, it's hard for us to invest in things that are eternal. But the purpose of this series is to help us to move beyond debt, to move beyond stress, to provide some margin in our lives, to be good steward of the money that God has placed within our hands, of all that he's given us, to provide for our needs, but also to further his kingdom. You know what? I can invest in a new car or a new couch or sofa. The minute I buy it, it depreciates, right? And it gets scratched, it gets torn, the kids do stuff, you know. Things just don't last, right? They don't last. But if I invest in the kingdom of God, where moth and rust don't corrupt or destroy, it's there for eternity. A great evangelist that grew up in our area, up in North Dakota and South Dakota, in that area, he says, "You know what? I've never seen a Hertz pull U-Haul trailer trucking down the road." In other words, the analogy was, you can't take it with you, right? You can't take your wealth with you. And so when you get into eternity, are you going to be living in your little shack, or are you going to be living in your mansion? And some of that has to do with how we invest what we have, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our time, our talent. It's not just our money, but it's our time and our talent. What have we invested in? Have we invested in things that are eternal or things that are passing just for the moment? I'm going to have the musicians come. What is the vision for your financial life, for investing in the future? What are some steps you need to take? Paul, thank you for getting that budget. If we need more copies of that, we can get more runoff, right? That would be very helpful for people. What steps will you take? And when we just, you know, when we're talking about investment, God invested a lot in you and me, didn't he? What did he invest? His son, right? Wow. That's putting it all out there, isn't it? And who did he invest it in? Invested in you, me. He looked at our lives and he said, you know what? I love them so much. I value relationship with mankind so much. And not just mass humanity, but Karen, Kelly, Matthew, Chris, Bob, John. I value my relationship with them so much, and sin's gotten in the way. It's destroyed that relationship. So I have to send my son to the cross, but it's worth the investment because I value that relationship so much. And see, God invested in something that was eternal. He wants us to invest in that same thing. Amen? God loves you so much. Would you stand this morning? I just want to lead us in a prayer. God loves you here this morning. And he sent his son to die on the cross to forgive us of our sin, but so that we could be in relationship with him and draw closer to him. And if I switch songs on you, am I going to really mess you up?
Depends what you switch to.
Good, good, Father. God loved us so much in that relationship that it was worth him investing in you and I. How many of you want to be a good return for him? Saying, you know what? Thank you, God. You invested in me. Now I'm going to be a good return. I want to be that mutual fund that brings you not just 1%, 100-fold return. By how I live my life, by drawing closer to God, by telling others about God, but just living my life to glorify him. Because he invested in you. He thought we were an investment that was worth his life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Would you join me this morning? If you pray this for the first time, if you would let me know, I'd like to help you in that journey. Saying, dear God, thank you for investing your life in me. Thank you for sending Jesus, your son, to the cross. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my disobedience. Be my Lord and my Savior. And draw me into your presence. And to know you better. In the name of Jesus, I ask and pray. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, if you'd let me know. Josh and Karen will be over there. And Victor and Yolanda will be over at the other side over here. But if you need prayer this morning as we sing this chorus, would you find them? And if you prayed that prayer this morning, maybe you want to pray with them. And I'll be at the front here. But if you have a need or request, would you find them? And they'll agree with you in prayer this morning. And just sing this chorus together this morning.